Right, should we make a start?
Sure.
And on that tidal wave of enthusiasm.
Hello, welcome to BagelTech Mac, the show that deals with all the news that's Mac. But we're not going to be able to do it this week because there's been absolutely bugger all.
I was going to say, what news?
We took a vote before the start of the show saying that we thought this should be an iPhone 5 rumour-free show. And then we're not entirely sure what to talk about now.
But does the fact that we mention iPhone 5 rumours now make this not rumour-free?
Oh, exactly.
In iPhone 5, they might call it something else. It could actually be called...
The phone that should not be mentioned.
Yeah.
Well, the Scottish phone.
The Scottish phone. That's it now. The Scottish phone. We've got a title already.
We don't want to have to walk around the office five times, then pinch each other in the nose.
The Scottish phone. There we go.
Oh, you said it.
Our fantastic off the shore, busted make amends.
Our fantastic panel. Missing Carl Swagger for some reason. I've got no idea why. Do apologize.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Top left corner, we got Mr. Don McAllister. How you doing, mate?
Good afternoon. Yeah, I'm doing well. Thank you. Yep. Another busy week. I was just saying before the pre-show, Mrs. Don is away this week, so she normally controls how much I work, but I've sort of just carried on working with her, not being here to say, oh, you've had enough today.
So. How do you get a wife who controls how much you work? Mine just keeps whipping.
No, I start to feel guilty when she's been on her own for like 12 hours, and I thought, no, I should really stop and go in and watch some TV and do family stuff and things, you know.
So. Yeah, and then when you realise she's watching Blind Date...
Yeah, well, there is that. But then the thing is, though, I go in with my laptop, so it doesn't really, you know, yeah, okay.
I'm showing me age as well. I said Blind Date, which is not...
Blind Date.
Surprise, surprise. It's to the Liverpool, you see. That's what did it. That's what threw me.
Steady on.
Hey. Next to him, from Boston, windswept Andy Anatko.
Hey, Lou.
The sun's shining, mate.
The sun's shining optimism reigns throughout the land. That's the peal of the Liberty Bell, up and down the East Coast and extending to the Golden Gate. Welcome to America, cradle of liberty.
You should write that down, dude. That's good.
You know, we're good on the inspirational hot talk. Follow through, we're a little bit weak on, but if you need something on a plaque, on a memorial, we're good.
You're the man. The month in Mac for you, mate. I mean, you've had a hell of a month since we last saw you.
Yeah, it was it was weird. We got hit by a hurricane on the East Coast, and it was not a terrible one. It depends on, you know, as usual, some regions get hurt worse than others. Up in Vermont, so many rivers flooded that there were a bunch of towns that were just absolutely washed out and isolated. Up here, we just lost power for about a week, so. It was, to me, it was, lost a freezer full of food, lost a week worth of productivity. I got very arseny by day 6 without power, but fortunately by day 7, the power came back on.
You resisted the temptation to go out and loot and pillage.
By day 6, I recognized that that was an attractive and viable option. That so basically, if there is a sort of a road warriors like apocalypse, I'll be nice and friendly until day 6, day 7. By day 8, you're going to be handing over those batteries because I got a baseball bat and no compunction against using it. I have no kids. It's not as though I'm going to be missing them by going to prison if I get caught, which I won't get caught because I got a bat and you have just 4 D cell batteries.
Where's your extraction of a NACA? Where does it come from?
Now, my grandparents say that they emigrated from Czechoslovakia, and all their paperwork says they emigrated from Czechoslovakia. They're very active in the Czechoslovakian community where they moved to, but I always believe that, but every time that I meet someone who is actually Russian, meaning not like emigrated from Russia, but is, I'm visiting, I'm on a 4-month study visa, I'm going to be at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, they ask me the question, I tell them, they say, oh no, this cannot possibly be a Czech name, it's either Ukrainian or Great Russian, it is not possibly a Czech name. It's as if I said that my name is Jablankowicz, but there are no Polish people or Jews anywhere in my background. It's like they will not believe that this is a Czechoslovakian name.
I was just trying to figure out whether there was any marauding in your lineage.
Well, I'm definitely built for, you know, Arctic combat. So, you know, I got the padding, I got the insulation, I got the bits of fur. So I would not be surprised if there were not a broadsword and a animal skins in my cultural heritage.
Excellent. Always good to have a big sword in your heritage.
Didn't want to come out and say that, but thanks for putting that out there.
Next to him, we've got Andrew, Dr. Happy Mac. How you doing, buddy?
All right. Good, thanks. Yes. I've got the ceremonial hat on.
Yes, in honour of Mr. Anatko, you've put your fedora yeah. on.
I've still got this going on, but I'm... God knows, whatever I do. How do you do it, Andy?
Is that like fertilizer, Andy, that gets those mutton chops up?
All you have to do is get a good 3 or 4 weeks in which either you don't really have much contact with people or you don't care about all your loved ones saying, you are going to shave next week, aren't you? It's funny. I know, it's great, but you are going to shave before the wedding, aren't you?
Yeah, I've noticed that with when I try and do the front bit or anything, you've got to just go away for 2 weeks and come back. You can't let other people in on the growth experience. You just have to present it as a fait accompli and just like, ta-da!
Especially if you're doing anything that is in any way alternative. Usually the only way you can get away with it is if you sort of throw them off the scent by growing the full beard, and then one day you show up and you've just shaved off any bits that you don't want.
The chat room's complaining that this is now turning into bagel beards.
But what I'm going to do is I'm going to brand up a paper bag. I'm going to do 2 weeks of client contact with a big bag on my head, and then after 2 weeks, I'm just going to hello.
Chat room, that's the responsibility up to you. Now we're going to be recording for what, about an hour? You have 1 hour to make a really spectacularly good piece of iOS or macOS news, and we'll talk all you want about it. So tick tock.
Absolutely.
I cannot make bricks without clay, you know?
Carl Swagger was rebooting. That's why we're filling time. So the one thing I've got to say, Andy, is I'm 44 years old, and the amount of hair you have on the side of your face, I haven't grown that much in 25 years of shaving. So I can't get it out of my system.
I just had a trim yesterday, as a matter of fact.
Oh, hang on. Carl's now not online, so it might not have been my fault. After all, I might have cut him off when we had a perfectly decent connection. Uh-oh. God loves Skype. Here we go.
Skype really is like that drunk relative that even when he didn't screw up and it's not his fault, your first go-to think is, oh God, he's drunk again.
Absolutely. Exactly.
Do you know how hard it was not to decline your call?
How hard it was not to decline it?
How hard it was not to... You cut me off.
Yeah, sorry, dude. I had no choice. I couldn't get anything at all. I'm still getting a black screen here anyway in Wirecast, so... It doesn't seem to be making any difference whatsoever.
I don't know. The black screen, I think, makes me look very attractive. So thank you.
Makes you look mysterious, like Charlie from Charlie's Angels. You never yes, saw John exactly. Forsythe, and he was the most interesting person on that entire show.
Well, we love Wirecast, but unfortunately, they don't seem to want to play at the minute. So Kyle will be our minority. He will be our ethnic minority. Kyle today is black. In more ways than one.
Never mind.
The week in Apple news, Bentley have offered the Mulsanne, their top of the range gas guzzler, at a fantastic price, £250,000. But if you want a Mac in it, you get a Mac Mini and you get two iPads, and they add the price of €100,000 to the total price, which seems like really good value. iPhone sales are surprisingly robust ahead of release of iPhone that shouldn't be named. Nearly had me. Oh. And the LA Times critic disparages Apple II campus as a retrograde cocoon. So that's the last review unit he's ever going to get.
they're going to ask for that building back. Normally they'll let them keep it for 3 months, but...
No, that's gone. I thought it'd be good to have a couple of conversations about some of the topics that have come up. I've been watching Twitter this week, and there's a lot of people still slagging off Lion. I mean, I'm not going to say the V word and suggest that Lion is anything like the V was. But I mean, one of the things that came out with Snow Leopard was that everyone complained about Snow Leopard for quite a while when it first came out. But after kind of 1-2 weeks, they all started dying off. Yeah, we're getting used to it. Yeah, the drivers are getting updated. Yeah, the applications are now running. But we're 2 months into Lion now, and there's still a lot of people tweeting out how much they dislike the way that it's running.
Go ahead and say the word. It sucks. It sucks.
Lion sucks. That's what everyone's saying. Lion sucks. I mean,
everyone's not saying that.
Not you, Don.
No.
And fanboys, apparently.
No, I'm surprised you say that because I haven't really seen that many people complaining, to be honest.
Yeah, me neither. It's more, I'm more familiar with the meme of people complaining that Lion sucks than people actually complaining. It was definitely a bit of a tough transition for the first couple of weeks because Apple dumped so many like new user interface stuff on us. Also, so much of the new stuff seemed pretty arbitrary. Didn't add any features. It was more like people who walk around the Apple campus in those really dorky shoes where you have individual pockets for every toe and gesture with their hands about vision and conformity. Oh, and you know, that's why the closed box has to be a triangle. No more circles in macOS. And that's the sort of frustrating thing. It's like, why am I spending the first 3 days scrolling in the wrong direction every time? I know, because some brilliant person had a vision. But after that, I mean, it's nothing but there are a few bugs, but guess what? That's what happens every time you're 0.1 larger than the previous edition. I just don't see all this Lion sucks. I don't see people having the same complaints that I'm seeing online.
Yeah, I have to say though as well that the amount of compatibility with applications online I think has been much better than it was previous major operating system releases, and virtually everything ran perfectly. I mean, obviously we're still waiting for some of the apps to come out and be lionized, so we've got the autosave, etc. But most applications I find run perfectly well in line, and you know, there are things I'm not using. I'm not really using Mission Control, to be honest. But the autosave I'm using, you know, all the time. That's a fantastic addition. A lot of the gestures I'm using the two finger swipe gesture a lot. But again, not really going into Mission Control and using the different desktop spaces. So I think people will just sort of, you know, they'll pick and choose the bits that they actually do like. Mail's great. I love Mail. I'm Mail all day, and I like the new changes that have been to Mail, but I'm finding it relatively bug-free, if I'm perfectly honest.
Do you not find Mail is lovely, the new interface is a huge improvement, but is not for you the searching in Mail just broken? I mean, do you not type into the search box every time, just type something in, no emails from that person, I have no idea who that person you spent the last 2 years talking to all via email, who is in your address book, who you is a fundamental part of your life and social circle, and Apple Mail is sitting there saying nothing, no contacts, no emails.
No, I mean, that's a fair point, because I've sat there with an email from the person that I want, and I don't know why, because it would have been easier to just click and sort on the name, but what I've done is gone into search and typed the person's name, and it's gone, nah, sorry, nothing there. And I've been looking at the damn email from that person before I've even done it. It doesn't do very well with searches.
No.
It's a little hit and miss, I have to admit, but it's made up for it by the other, like the views and stuff. I really get into, and that helps a lot. But I would say that Mail is Mail search is a little bit hit and miss.
Now the chat room is telling me that I'm talking out my arse here, which is rare, really. I'm surprised. Why does it suck? I love Lion. Me too. No problems at all with it. Liking Mission Control now. But then some of the people that have been typing, I love Lion, me too, like it lots. Does it suck? Question mark. They've now put, oh yeah, Launchpad sucks. Oh yeah, Mission Control sucks.
Yeah, but the great thing about those complaints is that if Launchpad sucks, you don't have to use Launchpad. I got to admit that I still use Spotlight as my main app launcher. One of the first things I had to do with Mission Control was to deactivate the gesture for activating it, because way too often I think I'm swiping to switch between full screen apps. Instead, there's that awful, awful like half second pause that tells me, oh no, I've just activated Mission Control, haven't I? And then because my machine has been up for a week, that means that, okay, so now I got to wait 3 or 4 seconds for this machine to collect all the windows and build that really, really pretty interface that I'm not going to use because I didn't mean to access Mission Control. Sorry, guys. But yeah, most of the features that you don't like are features that you can just simply avoid.
That's true.
No, I just, part of me is just feeling like my old, maybe I'm getting old. Maybe that's the point. Thank you for putting up the black screen of me.
It's all right.
I love that.
Well, thank you very much. I mean, it's what can I say?
Thank you. And I just really feel that the old Mac experience, what we've known, what we've grown, what we've loved for so many years, it's slowly fading away. I'm not, you know, I don't think Lion completely sucks, but it sucked enough for me for integration with, you know, recording software, mixing and all this. And, you know, average people are going to love it. But I switched back to Leopard, thanks to you, Ewan. And that's actually one of my cool thingies this week. But I just switched back. That was your suggestion. because I didn't have any problems with it. And then I feel until Line really totally gets the bugs out, I'm not enjoying it. But I just don't like the whole idea that I've got this iPad experience kind of now on my Mac and all this. I think the App Store was a good idea. I can see that really growing, but I'm not feeling the same transition as I had when Snow came out. It doesn't feel the same. Snow was different. Snow was struggling a bit. But I've had a lot more problems with Line. Like I said, I don't think it really sucks. I think it is a nice operating system. It's definitely nowhere near the Windows V word. But it's got a long way to go.
Anyone come back on that?
Yeah, it has got a long way to go. I think it's definitely, a first initial release. And I think a lot of the bits that really do bug me about it are, it's not that it's sucky, it's just that by 7.2, it'll be there. I mean, Snow Leopard was, by the end or halfway through, Snow Leopard was a lovely, lovely operating system. Really fast, really stable, did everything you wanted to do, accommodated your workflow, was really splendid. And I think Lion will certainly get there. They just got to, get a couple of point releases under their belts, and they've just got to get rid of that arsing iCal interface and the address book. Sodding address book interface, and then they'll be fine. Absolutely.
Don's had enough. He just simply got up. He cannot stand us bashing Lying anymore. He simply has just left the room.
That's exactly it.
We're sorry, Don.
Andrew, you would be someone who uses regularly or swaps between Snow Leopard, Snow Leopard and Lion. Is that kind of where your hot platforms a real issue? Because I know I've got an issue that one of the computers I've got on, I've got to have Snow Leopard on it. I can't go up to Lion on it. And other two that I've got, I'm running Lion. And the scrolling thing, holy hell, that just drives me mental. And I've ended up having to switch it off on the Lion machines because I just can't. That transfer has done my head in.
Well, I've turned it off. I was getting the hang of it, but customer Macs come in and out all the time. And it's just really annoying. Doesn't give me enough time to settle on one way. So I've kind of gone with the old school way and things. But I've still got the server in the office is running Leopard server because it's a G5, because I still get enough old machines in that need, system reinstalls and wipes and things that I do from disk images, which need to be run from a PowerPC machine. So I've still got a little piece of G5 love in the office running Leopard, and Leopard is good too. It's a good system.
Andy, I mean, do you find any issues swapping backwards and forwards between OSs? Because I mean, you must get machines that are running anything and everything.
Yeah, I just realized a few days ago that I have three different computers running three different editions of developer release pre-beta operating systems. It's realizing that, my life kind of stinks right now. But I tend to keep Mac OS pretty current across the board. There's only one machine in the house that doesn't have Lion right now. It's actually still on Leopard, only because it's an older machine that I've just sort of put back in a service. I haven't used it for a couple of months. Usually if I'm in a position where there's an old app or an old piece of hardware that requires Snow Leopard, it's usually old enough that I've probably already talked about it before, or it's just such an antique that it's okay for me to just dig out one of my older MacBooks and reinstall Snow Leopard on it just to get this one thing running. Fortunately, I sort of have the opposite problem that a lot of people have, where if you're a graphic designer, you have this one tool that you absolutely need your entire work to function on, and doesn't work with the new operating system. So you have to keep that one machine that has the old stuff. With me, it's the opposite. Since I'm mostly writing about new stuff, I always have to have that one machine that has the developer edition of what's coming out next. When I come home from a meeting and find out that I've got three different computers that have the endlessly cycling boot up sequence, I know that I'm not going to make my deadline for a certain thing in 2 days' time because I'm spending today as a system administrator.
Right. So Lion does not suck, apparently. There we go. Chatroom says it, and you all say it. I'm wrong.
There's one that, I mean, I think it's still the same, but after a week of Lion, and I still think the same thing now, that the greatness, the goodness and the lovely bits of Lion are hidden away. There's nothing on the interface and what you look at on the screen that makes you kind of jump out of your seat. But the versioning is a huge step forward. And the little hidden time, has anyone discovered the hidden time machine bit yet, which is really smart?
We'll narrow it down a bit, eh?
Well, obviously with time machine running, if you've got like a storage device in the office, which I've got here, and your machine laptop backs up to time machine, if you go away for the day or a week or whatever, and you keep working without it, then you come back and it does a big backup to your time machine and you kind of miss that, what you did. But now time machine continues to work locally on your drive. And then when you come back to your time machine, it just syncs it all up. So there's no gap in your time machine backup.
Oh, very good.
Which is really nice.
That is. That's really kind of cool. Especially if you lost something while you're out on the road, like dropping it or something like that.
Yeah. And it's all there in time machine on your Mac. And it distinguishes in the interface between local time machine and network time machine by colors. So you can go for one or the other and things. I don't remember anyone mentioning that.
Yet. No, I didn't even know who did that. There you go.
Perfect. Yes, that's the problem with the time machine. It's supposed to work in the background and you're not supposed to notice it, which means that God knows what it's doing for you when you're not looking.
Yeah, there's a thing with like auto correction of photos and things like that in Photoshop. I can't bring myself to do auto correct because I just have no idea what it's doing.
Yeah, actually that would be the I'm gonna say that's the biggest adjustment I've had to make in Lion, the fact that they're now doing iOS style auto correction as you type, because I had no idea how idiosyncratic my language was until this feature popped up that every time I typed a word that I thought was a real word but the dictionary disagreed with me, it would say, "Didn't you really mean dog?" I said, "No, I meant Dougalston." You don't know what? Okay, fine. Add to dictionary. It's a little bit of extra paranoia, because if you don't notice that it's made a correction for you, you're sort of used to the idea that on your phone you might send a text and then read the text you just sent and realize, oh, I totally did not say boobies. I actually said feeble, not boobies, feeble. And that's the next three texts that you send. When suddenly, like, I have to proofread my columns to make sure that, no, I really wasn't. No, real, Mr. Editor, I'm sorry. I know you can't say that word. It's Lion.
Yeah, Twitter's awash with people making typos, or rather the system correcting things for them. Luckily, they're not too offensive, but I've noticed Twitter recently, well, since Lion came out, Twitter's awash with the people typing the wrong things in or typing the correct thing in, and Lion deciding that it is actually the wrong thing, and there you go. And then you hit send, and off it goes.
The Oops. One that I've come across repeatedly in iOS, and it has caused some significant issues for me, is if you want to say is now, it auto-corrects if you don't put the space into isn't. So you want to say something is now available. Actually, the sentence that comes out says, this isn't available. And I've had people tweet me going, why have you told us that it's not posted? What are you talking about? I put down that this isn't available at the following link, and I clicked it and it's there. What are you on? No, I meant to say is now. Holy hell.
Actually, I think I actually saw one of those from you.
Did you? I mean, were you one of the people that replied? That's
right. I can't remember. All right.
I'd hope that something wasn't going on. Oh, it was when the show's is the show is on is now, and I said isn't now or isn't available, isn't on now. So just something like that. Just ridiculous, complete opposite meaning. I saw an interesting slide this morning that was taken from 360 iDev, and it did say on the thing, you know, prediction. So it's kind of rumor mill based stuff again, but it made a quite an interesting statement, and the statement it made was, Apple TV, the best game console on the market. I mean, I know that it isn't because there's no apps on it at the moment, but it was a prediction of the Apple TV will be the best games console on the market. Is there any weight to that, or is that just pure bunkum?
No, I think it's coming. I've kind of said something on the show a few weeks ago about this. That I keep hearing things kind of from my end that they're going to be updating this Apple TV. We're going to be seeing this major update, that it is going to be starting to have games on it and your apps and everything else. I mean, they got to go this way. I mean, we thought they were going to go this way from the beginning. It's just taken, you know, forever and 9 years. But finally, you know, I really feel that probably by the end of this year, or at least by the first part of next, we'll definitely be seeing apps on the Apple TV, a completely redesigned interface. Because let's face it, front row does suck.
What evidence have you got that there is absolutely any functionality whatsoever for applications? Because as far as I understand it in the developer code that's come out in iOS 5, there's nothing.
Mm. I'm not sure that we're talking about actual games running on Apple TV. I think it's more about AirPlay having a much more sophisticated connection between your iPhone, the iPad, and the Apple TV. The idea of being able to play like a new version of John Madden football, where each player has their own iPod that has their own console. They can run their own private inputs, their own private plays, have their own like first person camera perspective. But meanwhile, all the data from these three is feeding a shared display via your Apple TV, where the Apple TV is doing nothing but playing the video that one of these iPads is telling it to play. So it doesn't have to you don't have to have a special game that's running on the Apple TV to use it simply as an external device, as an external display, because I didn't really get into gaming. I've never owned a game console because it's just too much of a distraction. Also, there's a reason why there's no like surgery scars on these hands.
Yeah,
because
you
I don't
do enough
spend
typing.
Exactly. But the idea of the iPad as a wonderful gaming system has really taken hold of my heart. And when you couple that with the ability to have one big shared display, now you have a two screen system or a three screen system or a four screen system. That's really powerful.
Does the current Apple TV need to change though for that to happen?
I think software, not
hardware.
Oh, like AirPlay can already do a lot of cool stuff. OS level stuff could even enhance it further, but it really wouldn't take much to make it all happen. One of the coolest things that showed off the original iPad was that new version of Scrabble, where the company really went the extra mile to say, well, you know what? I bet that if one of these people in this group has an iPad, most of these people have iPhones. So we will have, if you're running the Scrabble app on the iPhone, then we will let you use your iPhone simply to manage your tile rack. You will see we'll use the iPad just as the game board. And that's the sort of thing that I really want to see on the Apple TV.
Don, you've got a comment, I think, there.
Yeah, well, the thing is with the Apple TV, we're still waiting for the other shoe to drop, really. And I'm still waiting for the keynote when someone comes up on stage and says, well, you know that hobby we used to have? Well, it's not a hobby any longer. And this is, you know, what we're doing with the Apple TV. Because as a platform, they haven't really done much with it. You know, there's still tons they could actually do with it. I'm still waiting for the apps. And I agree with Andy about the gaming side. You know, the combination of the iPad and the iPhone as controllers or as game, the devices that manage the game is what's going to happen. But I think there will be components on the Apple TV, especially around entertainment, etc. But the thing is that I always think of with Apple, I mean, they've grown so much over the past 3 or 4 years, but they only have finite resource. So everything that they have done is carefully planned out. And, you know, it's just the fact they can't do everything at once. So they have to wait for certain milestones to be in place before they can move on to their next part of the strategy. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why the Apple TV, you know, it still seems like a hobby, or they still say it's a hobby, and that they haven't got the resources available to actually focus on that device until other certain building blocks were in place, namely iOS 5, get Line in place. iCloud's huge. I mean, imagine the amount of resource they've had to put into getting iCloud sorted out and getting the back-end infrastructure sorted out. Once all that's in place, hopefully, you know, this autumn we'll have iCloud and iOS 5 and the phone that shall not be named. You know, then I think the door is then open for them to start looking, or, you know, to announce anyway what they're actually going to do with Apple TV, because I'm sure it's already planned and, you know, partly executed. But I think it's a huge area of the market that they haven't really focused in on as yet, and I think it's purely because it's one of resource limitations and making sure everything is in place first before they move on to that part of their strategy.
Yeah, and let's not forget about the television too.
Yeah, you still want that $20, don't you?
I'm gonna win that $20. That's how confident I am. I'm telling you, there's going to be an Apple television.
Just for your sake, Andy, Kyle has insider information from Cupertino through a relative with a different name, so they're never going to find him, that there is definitely, definitely, definitely an Apple TV. He's staking his mother on it.
No.
Hmm.
No, I'm sick. Oh, well, first, let's see pictures of your mom. Are you talking?
Is she expendable?
I'm saying, is it one of those like Skinner box wire moms where it's all chicken wire with a baby bottle like jammed in the middle of it, or is this an actual like, you know, mammal sort of creature?
This is a living, breathing human being. Yes.
Okay. And are you saying this in context of they didn't just build one just to see how well it would work, or just in case they decide to extend it here? It's no, they are on their way to like actual production engineering on this.
No, they were on their way with the launch of iCloud, and they're on their way with getting everything else developed with the iOS devices. And then we will see the progression with Apple TV, and then the introduction of Apple television.
A television set that is made by Apple and has Apple features built into it.
That's right. That's exactly correct. And it's going to be a television that's twice the price of the one you can go in Best Buy and get.
Do you want to take $20 with him, Andy, on this? Because there's a few bets floating around already.
If everybody's uncomfortable, let's just do it in pesos and we'll call it good.
Yeah. But see, okay, the thing is, though, you got to have a time limit on this thing. Because
next year, first part of next year,
2012, no what? Later than, let's say, next year is 2012. This is 2011. Next year is 2012.
Right.
One, take the 2011, add one to that. That's your answer. First
there
part
you go.
Then would probably be first
quarter of next
no later than what month?
No later than be April or May of next year.
Dude, you're being harsh. I'd have just given him 2012 and be done with it.
I'm going by what I know. I'm helping you
out here, because so much more great will your victory be. And victory is inevitable here. When you didn't waffle, you didn't say sometime in the next couple years, you said by the end of May of 2012, we will actually see not a slide, not a sneak peek, not a preview, but there will be an Apple TV on somebody's wall who just had five or six.
He
or
didn't say anyone was actually going to buy it, dude. Steady on.
Okay. When he said twice as much, realize that a lot of these TVs you can buy on Amazon cost like $1,500. Are you talking about the $300 or $400 TVs that most people are buying, or we discovered a brand new color and now our LCD pixel display has new per yellow in it, which is great.
We're talking about the five people that are on this panel show right now that will and can't afford it, but will go out and buy the damn Apple television and will be called the iCinema.
Andy, I've got to say, mate, the lengths you've gone to over the stipulations and criteria and the terms and conditions of this $20 bet, how the hell do you ever sign a contract, man?
I sign contracts that make me win. you're talking to someone who's worked in publishing for his entire career. I know about reading stuff. Saying, okay, you know what? We're gonna put. I know that the Earth is not gonna crash into the sun, which means that you will have no objections to me putting in this clause that says that if the Earth crashes into the sun, I am not responsible for being late on this project.
Yeah, good point. Good point. So, are you taking the 20 or not, man?
I'll take that bet.
He's taking the 20. Yes,
I don't believe that Apple will introduce a TV in by May. This has been kicked around before. I know I am smart enough and humble enough to know that you really never know what Apple is working on until they actually pop it on you. And more than once, I've thought to myself, I really can't imagine how Apple would ever design a phone or get into the phone market. And it turns out that what I imagined a phone to be is exactly the device they didn't make. So I was only technically right, because they were actually saying, no, well, what if we did a phone this way? What if we made it not a push button BlackBerry sort of thing, but what if we made it into sort of a modern, always connected version of a PDA? And then it makes sense. So if the only way that Apple would actually do that is if they found a way to define TV that goes beyond, oh, well, it's a 48-inch 1080i HD TV, only instead of plugging in the Apple TV, the Apple TV is built into the TV, thus saving you $99.
Enormous.
All I'll say is that I will win either way, because either I will win this bet or I will lose $20, but learn about something that's really, really cool and really, really defines television the way that the iPhone redefined phones.
Absolutely. And as if by a moment of real serendipity here, Kyle, Will's in the chat room. He's just said his money's safe. Good luck to Mrs. Will. She's due to give birth tomorrow. Good luck to
her. That's right.
Our thoughts are with you, mate.
I mean, it sounds like I'm down $40. I'm going to be about, what, $80 richer next by May?
May, yeah. That's a long time to wait for $80, dude.
it's worth the wait.
So what we're saying is that if you really wanted a games console at the Apple TV, you're talking about an enormous hardware change. But Are we not at the kind of, isn't this the timescale for an upgrade to Apple TV? Because wasn't it the tack-on of the iTunes thing last time?
Yeah.
So we're due a cyclic change here, surely.
But the thing is, what would you add? With the Apple TV, the big deal of Apple TV is that they essentially said, okay, turns out we were wrong in this idea of let's build a Macintosh that's the size of a ceiling tile and make it consume lots of power. Let's make something like the Roku box that does nothing but simply receive content and stream stuff. So beef up the processor, enhance the Bluetooth, maybe add a USB port for diagnostic purposes. But I don't know what else they would do with it.
Anyone else?
Yeah, don't forget
internal hard drive.
The 8 gig of RAM already on board, so you know it's already got some decent local storage that it could do stuff with.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if you take 3 HD movies down, that's kind of gone, then, isn't it? Really?
Yeah, but they're streaming, though, aren't they? They're not stored.
Yeah,
they're not taken locally. You don't store them for playback at your own.
I'm not sure.
It does. If you rent it, it stores them
locally.
That's the only reason it's got local storage, is what I understood.
Yeah.
Mine's broken, by the way.
Why?
6 months old. I don't know. It won't plug it in, and it sits there, and it goes, a little spinny pinwheel pops up, and it just goes, setting date and time settings, and that's it. And there's nothing I can do to make it.
We'll take it back to the store.
Yeah. Didn't you get AppleCare?
Well, it's in warranty, so it's just I've just got to get, you know, we're in Cirencester, we've got to get the old tractor fueled up, get down to a Brizzle.
It do
Brizzle
be a long way to town.
Yeah, we don't. I got to put a load on the tractor. I'm not going to Brizzle without a load.
Yeah, I think there's a point in the chat room here that people are saying that that, you know, 8 gigs is a huge amount to run a game. Fair point, but I think you look at all the other things that this thing's got to do as well as, and in terms of a buffer of memory, 8's 3 HD movies, which is not a lot for a lot of people to actually hold. So I think there'd have to be a change in the amount of memory on board. I would have thought.
Yeah, definitely. Like
one
terabyte would be awesome.
1 terabyte, yeah, the size That'd be awesome. The size of a cup of coffee in 1 terabyte, thank you very much.
Damn right.
Survey shows that Steve Jobs' absence is not deterring people from buying Apple. Are we surprised?
No.
I don't think anyone, I mean, half the people that buy Apple products haven't got a clue who Steve Jobs is to start with, and the rest really couldn't give a toss, I would suggest.
Yeah.
Well, I know I haven't bought a single Apple product since he stepped down.
And that's an indication.
Fair weather friend. Apple needs you now more than ever. Good rinse to you.
How could you, Andy? I mean, they've been telling the markets that things are fine without him anyway. So, you know, it's not surprising that people are not seeing a diminishing in confidence. And in fact, the MacBook Air and the Mac Mini have been driving all of the sales, it would seem, through Q3. I mean, Air is multifaceted. It'll chop vegetables. And now it's got the upgrade in the processors. It's really, really great. I mean, the Mac Mini, has that kind of got a brand new lease of life with the Core i5 and i7 processor?
It's awesome. I mean, I'm using it right now, and it is fantastic. I am missing the the optical disk drive, and that's just because
You're a dinosaur.
Buttload of them. Yeah, I've got a buttload of them back here. And but I'm, you know, there's ways around that now. You can always buy an external one. Definitely not one from Apple because they'll rip you off. But you know, anyone would work fine. And it's like having a freaking iMac. It's really fast.
Yeah, it's. I think when I was talking to Apple about the Mac Mini, it really seems as though this is the first Apple product where I think Apple said, okay, we thought it was this kind of product. The market told us it was a different kind of product. All right, as long as you're buying it, because when we were talking about it, it wasn't, when they were talking about things like using it as an embedded system, it wasn't in the vein as, well, yeah, I suppose if someone wants to install it in a car, they could do that. I mean, they have the right to do that. Now they're actually really admitting, yes, we're getting lots of news about that, where it's this one of the reasons I think why they actually made it without the optical drive is because they know that if they can make it slimmer, if they can make it a little bit faster, if they can reduce the power draw and the amount of heat that it generates a little bit more, that means that people are going to be buying more of them for their server closets. People are going to be buying more of them as just that AV computer that simply hides behind the TV set somewhere and does its magic. I'm with you, Andrew. I mean, I've been kind of tempted to buy one myself because my iMac is it's an Intel. So it's got that hallmark of quality, but it's still like a 2 or 3 year old iMac. And I'm considering replacing it with a Mac Mini now, only because, well, why would I buy something that has like its own screen attached when I have like dozens of really nice flat panel displays around here that I can recycle? And it's just as good, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just posted a little link in the chat room there. There's a fantastic little rack mount shelf that you can put two Mac Minis on. It just takes up a single U of space. And it's ventilated so that you can actually put these minis in. And there's also some cables that take it round to the front so you can actually have a USB port at the front. And there's also a power switch at the front as well.
Dude,
so
let Xserve go. Just let it go, dude. You know?
No, I can just... It's gone.
Leave it alone.
Just under my desk. Just, you know, 4 or 5 of those racks with two Mac minis in each one. Oh, fantastic.
Four or five?
And that would be useful because...
Well, wouldn't it be great if you could actually link them together by Thunderbolt and have them all as a multi-processing unit? Fantastic. But they haven't invented that yet. So that's
dude, probably. You are the Ranulph Fiennes of Mac. You want to do everything with Mac because it's there.
Of course. Yeah. Right, no, I know. I could have it as a render farm. That's it for the videos. So I could use it to encode it. Encode videos faster than I could actually record them. So that's
You're going to need to turn that little office into a fridge, mate, to cope with that lot, aren't you?
Yeah, well, it's all right. I've got my air conditioning unit blowing nicely, so that's okay.
I say with the air on the Mini,
industrial air conditioning unit in this room because of the amount of heat that's generated by all the kit.
Apparently, it's about £400 for a decent air conditioning unit for a room that's silent. There you go.
Oh, right.
I know a man. He's going to try and fit me one because I'm melting in here at the minute. Andrew, you were going to say something sensible.
Well, I was just going to say sensibly that, I mean, quite a few of my customers have sprung for airs now. And a couple have got minis and things, which is great. And they do love the airs and they're fantastic and things. But I mean, one of the Brits that used to go, that people used to go, oh, wow, about getting a new Mac and things was Migration Assistant and just plug it in and away you go. And I have to say that with the MacBook Air and the Mini now without the optical, without enough network ports, not the Mini, the Air, that it seems to have turned the Migration Assistant from a fantastic tool into a million to one shot that might just work.
Really?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd agree with you there because I've had problems with Migration Assistant over Wi-Fi.
Yeah. And even network, it's like 6-7 hours at network and halfway through it goes, oh, what other computer? And stuff like that. So, I mean, you know, this sort of air, it's great in many ways and some of the whole philosophy behind it. Great, but sometimes it doesn't quite work as well as you'd want it to.
Good conversations. Thanks, chaps. Have we got any cool things? Don, have you got anything for us?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll give us a cool thing. About 20 different, no, about 30 bits of software that you can go and buy. There's currently, I know these bundles keep coming up and some of them are really rubbish and some of them are really good, but there are actually three bundles running at the minute. I think two of them have got about a week to go, and another one's got about 10 or 14 days to go. One is the Mac Update promo, one is the Mac Legion promo, and there's another one, which I forget the name of now, but there's another one as well, and each one is like 10 or 11 Mac apps, all for $49.99. So for $150, you can actually buy 30 really good apps. If you want the links, I've actually put the links on my website. If you go across to screencastleland.com/bundles, and there's links there. They are affiliate links, I'll tell you now. So if you want to go straight to the site to do so, but
you'll
I'll put all the links together. But no, some of them are really good, like that Mac Legion one you've got on there. It's got Rapid Weaver on there. It's got Devon Think Pro, which a lot of people rave about. The other one, which is the Mac Update one, each one's got at least 3 or 4 really, really good applications, and they're well worth taking a look at.
I'm trying to find the Mac Update one, but you go to the Mac Update site, it's not on there.
I think you go to MU Promo. So go to mupromo.com.
Nope. Oh, we got a redirect. No. Yes, there we go. 23,000 sold.
That was some fantastic audio.
Well, the tapping on the keyboard.
There you go.
Toast is a good one, isn't it? And Data Rescue is a good one. Data Rescue 3. The other one that struck me as well was the Distro. is pretty cool as a program as well, isn't it? I've used that before.
Which one's that one?
Distro. Distro Pro.
Oh, right. I know what you're
saying. Recovery tool. It's very, very good. Very good. Excellent choices, mate. Well done.
Let me tell you what the other one is. Let me, because the other one, it's got Launch Bar in the other one, which is a fantastic application. If you haven't got it, you really need to get it. But let me just look up which one it is. It is over at Bundle Hunt 5, it's called. So if you go to bundlehunt.com.
You make sure you say that properly, don't you?
Yes. Bundle Hunt.
That may not go well on the iOS platform.
While you're getting that, it's got Launch Bar, it's got Write Room, it's got Divi, which is a great window management thing. It's got the Tumult Hype No. 5 application, XSlimmer. I mean, you know, those four, those five are fantastic applications. I don't know the others, to be honest, but...
So what you're saying is that by the end of today, I'm going to be $150 out of pocket.
Well, you need to make a judgment decision, don't you? Some of these you will have already, and sometimes it's worth buying them if you've already got them just to get the other things in the bundle. I always think if I can get at least three applications out of a bundle for that $50, I just treat the others as free applications, basically.
Do you remember the compilation albums from KTEL?
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
They had Tammy Wynette on it or something. There'd be Kenny Rogers or something like that. There'd be some dude on there you never heard of and some woman you've never seen in your life. But, they get their 3 minutes of fame on the back end of this KTEL album. Or you buy four and they're not available in shops, of course.
That's right. Fantastic on 8-track. Fantastic.
Oh, mate. You just want the past. You're just like Don wanting his ex served back. That's it.
You know, Don's a hell of a salesman. I'm going to go buy this crap right now.
But do go to Don's site. In fact, actually, go to our site first, click on Don's link, and then we'll know we sent you, and then buy all this crap from Don's site, and then Don gets the money, I get nothing.
No, we get a great bundle deal, according to Don. Let's act now. Get now. 1-800-GO-DON.
Operators are waiting to take your call. No, you're not supposed to say that anymore, are you? You're supposed to say that if lines are busy, please keep trying.
Keep trying. We have an influx of orders.
I did a little video just going through all the different the first two bundles anyway, which is over at that screencastonline.com/bundles link. So if you want to check the video out and then use any other links, you don't have to use the links on my site. You can go and go to them directly. It's not an
issue. They do. You're a good guy, mate. They should support
you.
Yeah.
It's kind of you to bring this public service to us, mate.
and make
a mint off it. Andy, have you got anything that you want to promote, like your Amazon link or
just take this dagger out of my back?
actually I'd like to promote the Andy Notko just throw some money in a box and mail it to me foundation. It couldn't be simpler. Just take money, throw it in a box and mail it to me, where it will be used to maybe buy myself some new curtains from the back because light is streaming in. Or I'm actually kind of low on soda. I've got Coke Zero here and I think I'm down to my last two cans, so don't send soda, that would be silly. Just throw some money in a box and mail it to me.
.com.
Actually, I wonder if that domain name is available.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Don, if you want to check whether it is, go to our site, click on uk2.net.
Right. Make sure you use that link. Code.
And don't forget the promotion code.
That's right. You get 15% off, Don, if that domain's available. Act now.
Oh, man. Don. Andy, even. What have you got for us, mate?
I'm actually, everyone's a big fan of Dropbox, and it's been a cornerstone of my work for like a year and a half, like however long it's been out. I've been taking a look at Spider Oak, which is an alternative to Dropbox, only because it tries to do absolutely everything that Dropbox does. The same sort of cloud storage where you have a designated folder on every one of your Macs and PCs and Unix machines that is silently synced for contents between each other. You save a file one place, it just magically appears everywhere else, and you can get access to it through the cloud. There's also iOS and Android apps so that if you want to access your files through your iPad, you can simply open it right from the app and then send it to, if it's you started working on a Pages app on your desktop, you can always reopen it on the iPad or iPhone version just by opening it via the mobile client. But it sounds as though, Andy, you're saying something that's exactly like Dropbox, and so why would I switch from Dropbox? Well, it has one nice advantage in that everything is just by nature encrypted and secure. Dropbox got into a big kerfuffle a few months ago because turns out that the marketing language that they put in explaining that their employees could not even possibly access your data was in fact just marketing language saying that they could not access your data. When in fact, they could read your stuff. As a matter of fact, if they were so stupid as to leave the entire authentication system for the entire network unlocked for three whole hours one Monday afternoon, anybody could actually access it. And also, this is not a paranoid thing. This is actually now really a factor that everybody should consider whenever they use cloud services. If somebody were to approach Dropbox and say, hi, we're a very, very powerful company. We would really like to sue this person for posting stuff, copyrighted stuff online or doing something we don't like. We would like you to secretly give us access to his cloud storage file so we can take a look at what he's doing. I don't know what Dropbox's legal policies are, but that means that if they were so properly coerced, they could actually give somebody access to your data. Spider Oak is marketing themselves based on the idea that, look, we are everything that you send to you post, everything you share is encrypted with keys that we do not have access to. So we don't even have the ability technically to access your files. If we someone defined variably as the man, either the government or the government, as certain political factions would refer to it, were to try to make us turn over your data, we would not be able to do that because we don't have the keys to decrypt your stuff. So I'm trying to figure out whether or not it's an important thing to move to a system like Spider Oak, or if Dropbox is still good enough. I think that it becomes the line between, do you feel that just in principle you want the most secure way of putting stuff in the cloud that's available, or is it okay to simply say, look, I know that in theory the worst could happen, but that's such a remote possibility. And given that Dropbox is so well integrated with third-party apps via APIs, I mean, there's so many apps that I use that I don't even have to use any sort of a file manager in order to access that file. My word processors on iOS will simply access my Dropbox and open and save things directly. And that's a really, really nice little feature. But it's good to know that there's at least this alternative. I have accounts on both. I have to admit that even though I'm not 100% sure that there is a need for Spider Oak, the fact remains that there are things that I will never put on my Dropbox because I think that it's as whether you want to be really paranoid or whether you want to be really open, I think the sensible conclusion is always that if you don't want something to ever be known publicly, you do not ever put it anywhere on a internet accessible server or an internet accessible file folder. So, I mean, I'll put the columns that I'm working on and book chapters I'm working on up there for my convenience because it's protected by a strong password. And I don't think that anybody can really get at it without a lot more work than it's worth. But I would never do something like if I have financial records, even I don't care how well it's backed up. I would never put like my PDFs of my tax returns up on Dropbox. I would never put spreadsheets with the financial information up on there. Whereas maybe Spider Oak would be the service that I could use for that sort of thing. Good to know that it exists. SpiderOak.com. Pricing is very competitive. Just like with Dropbox, you can get the first gigabyte or two for free.
Yeah, it's 2 gig for free for lifetime, and you've got 100 gig for $100 a year, which is phenomenal.
Yeah. That's sweet. Because it's $10 a month now through Dropbox for 50, $20 for 100. So, for just the pricing alone.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. For those of you that are listening to us in China, Russian Federation states, Iran, Iraq, Libya, Burma, some areas of Pakistan, potentially. Forget it, you won't get it.
Well, actually, then I have a second pick, Whytopia.com, which a personal VPN service that will let you basically choose what country you want the internet to think you come from, because all your traffic will be routed through an international server. I was using it to access iPlayer just the other week to watch that really good documentary on P.G. Woodhouse. So,
good man. Love iPlayer. Get iPlayer stick it to the with a proxy. That's what you need.
To all the UK listeners, thanks for paying your licensing fees.
Thanks to the way that the BBC is uniquely stolen. Andrew, what have you got for us, mate?
I've got a little tiny app that is more of a sort of a utility than anything else, but it's really very useful and massively time-saving when you need it. Pacifist, which is, if you look on your computer, you've got these files and folders, but some of them, particularly a good example of it is the iPhoto library, where it's not actually an application. It's a special sort of folder called a package that you can't see into unless you press the control key down and click on it and show package contents. What Pacifist does is it allows you to look inside those packages easily. And more crucially, the other day I had to somebody's app, mail app completely let loose in a big way. And pretty much the only way around that is to get out the install disks and reinstall the operating system or the combo update from scratch. So that which can be slightly long-winded. Pacifist, brilliant. CD in the thing, click Pacifist, look on the installer in the packages, click the mail app installer and just run that one tiny bit of install. Have 5 minutes, you're done. It's free too.
Yes, it doesn't really run with Lion, unfortunately.
No, by Lion, that sucks, Lion. Is that what we call a callback in comedy? I believe it is, isn't it?
Yes, very good. A few comments in the chat room. Dropbox is integrated into lots of things. Spider Oak do exactly the same kind of thing. I've got a pick for the people in those countries. iRevolution can be a bit expensive, though. And do you realise, Andy, that you will no longer be allowed to enter the UK having made comments about stealing BBC?
Okay, okay, I'll tell you what. If anybody gives me any flap about that, you know what? You can't have The Wire anymore. All right? All the great shows that like we let you guys have, you know, that maybe we should just take those back too. You know, sometimes we want to see Doctor Who early. Come on.
There's a comment from Teresa as well saying, I've recommended Witopia to many people. I never thought of using it that way. Yeah.
There you go.
you can withhold The Wire seasons 1 to 3 over my dead body, but you can keep season 4.
No trade.
This is going to get too geeky by far. Kyle, what have you got for us, mate? And it better not be Wirecast with desktop presenter, because that hasn't worked well for you today, mate.
Oh, damn. No, it's not. It's I use Tweetings on my iPhone. I love the app. And I don't know why it's taken me so long to put it on my Mac. It's just a very simple app for the Mac, and it's called Tweetings. What I love about it, it syncs your timeline with your iPhone and your iPad. And you can even do scheduled tweets, I think, within 15 minutes within a 15-minute period. It's one thing I really love about it. It's just a sweet, nice, very, very Mac-ish app. And I love it to death, and I'm glad I installed it. It's $3. I know it isn't like me. Usually I'm the cheap guy, and I get the free one. But I spent money, $2.99, worth every single cent, which, by the way, keeps declining in value. Get it now.
Excellent.
No, price of copper and zinc keep going up. So.
Oh, yeah, good point.
If you think the American dollar no longer has buying value, so long as you take it all your pay in pennies, you should do work out okay.
Bury it in the garden. There we go. My pick, in the danger of being Will Green here, is one of the applications that really has come into its own for me in the last couple of weeks. I mean, I've always used it for taking my movies off discs that I own and putting them on the server. But since I've been doing the video podcast, getting something that's willing to compress stuff properly but still retain the quality, but get it down to a sensible size. I mean, some of the videos we've been getting here, even the stuff that we're hoping for the podcast has been coming out 260 megabytes, so it's still too big, really, for people to put on mobile devices. And Handbrake has done an absolutely stunning job of rendering everything for the video podcast. It takes all of the video podcasts at an hour or more, and if you set your preference of, I want it down to 100 megabytes, it just does it to 100, you know, 94, 100, 107, somewhere around there. It's got like a 20 megabyte leeway. But the quality, I put the two up against the uncompressed and the compressed one. I'm struggling to see a difference between the two. Maybe the odd frame here or there, but generally speaking, it's lossless. Handbrake is worth every penny, as far as I'm concerned, because we wouldn't be doing the video podcast without it. It's please go and support them. Handbrake.fr, just a brilliant application. But I'm aware of the fact that it's 10 years old before you all start writing in and giving me.
No. Well, they keep coming up with updates. I mean, I use it to encode my master screencast that I actually output sort of in complete lossless from Final Cut Pro And that comes in normally for about an hour's, not for about half an hour podcast. It comes in at about 6 gig. And I compress that down to normally under 100 megabytes. And the quality is fantastic. And good, that's all done with Handbrake.
Good grief. I mean, someone in the chat room saying QuickTime Pro, but I really don't think QuickTime Pro does that.
No, Handbrake's brilliant.
And it's not nearly as easy either. I just love the fact that with Handbrake, all you have to do is say, here's what I got, here's what I want, here's what I want it to be like. Please figure out everything else for it. You're so much more clever than I, Handbrake. Go.
It's true. That's exactly it.
Exactly.
It is that. It's the slide that just says, you know, here's what I want. Yeah. Thanks.
And it's very fast. It's multi-core aware as well, so you use all the cores on your box. So that's good.
No, I mean, it's great. And the thing is, as well, having a more powerful machine now that's doing the video, you know, I stick a file in and I can watch the actual progress going up exponentially because it's actually got some power behind it, which is nice. Excellent. Our last word goes to our sponsors, UK2.net. We really are utterly and totally in their debt. We've got some really nice stuff at the moment with them, though, which is happening. First thing that we've got is obviously the please buy their service, because if they didn't get any service from us and we didn't get any business from us, then they'd pull out of supporting the podcast. And we did 4 terabytes of audio last month, and now we're doing video this month. Holy hell, that could go ballistic. I'm expecting it to possibly treble. So we owe them a great deal. But if you want to buy stuff from them, go to our website and scroll yourself down to the UK2 logo, click on it, and it'll take you to their site, obviously, and they'll know that we've sent you. So even if you just want to sign into your account, you can do it. Buy whatever you need to buy and then go and check out. And when you check out, use the offer code BAGELTECH. And BAGELTECH will get you 15% off your purchase and straight away. The other thing is, if you're transferring a domain over to them, they use a DNS management charge, which is about £20. BAGELTECH listeners don't pay that. So all you have to do is use the offer code BAGELDNS. Now, you can put both in and get all the DNS charges removed, and also you'll get the 15% off as well as. So you get best of both worlds. The other thing that you've got underneath is a competition. They're going to run a competition with us for a month or so. And all you have to do is go to our website, click on the link. It takes you through to a competition entry page. Give them your name and your email address, and then answer a question about how much storage there is on the V400 VPS server. And if you go back to their homepage, then all you've got to do is slide the slider up to the relevant amount on that, and it'll actually take you straight to it and tell you the amount that you need. So it couldn't be simpler. It really is dead simple. UK2.net, we need you to support them, please, because if they didn't support us, we would be in deep pub. There's just a quick hint. Where can we get a hold of you? Donald.
Right, you can get me over at screencastonline.com, or you can catch me on the Twitters as Don McAllister.
But in the next 24 hours, you will be changing into Will Green, no?
Oh God, yeah.
You're supposed to be doing it at the next live event, which is
I might have to work on that. But no, we've got the Liverpool tweet up this weekend, so I'll be heading into Liverpool tomorrow, probably around about lunchtime, having a spot of lunch, doing some sightseeing, showing them around my first city, and then a few beers in the nighttime.
So if you're around Liverpool and you're doing nothing, then go and see Don and have a good time.
Yeah, I think there's about a dozen of us, I think, meeting up. People coming from far and wide. Julie's in the UK now. She's down in Basingstoke, I think, but they're travelling up tomorrow. And I think Paul Shadwell's just arrived in Liverpool. And it's all happening.
Excellent. Don says you, Drew in the chat room says you look a bit more like Kenny Everett these days. Well, I don't get that.
No. Come on now.
Never mind, eh? Andy, where can people get a hold of you? Like, we can actually drive anyone to you.
That's how furious you're getting. People are getting, your listeners are getting so furious you've driven them to not go. It's that bad. No, don't give up.
No, I meant it as a compliment. It wasn't a slur, dude.
No. It would probably be correct to say, no, take your head out of the noose. Next show will be even better. If you can spell my last name, hit me on Twitter. I'm Anatko, IHNATKO on Twitter. Or go to the Celestial Waste of Bandwidth, CWOB.com. That is links to my email and my Twitter, my blog, and all kinds of other cool stuff.
And we're still going to get you on the photo show at some point, mate, because you're a prolific photographer, I know. So
I definitely and dastardly want to be on the photo show.
Right. Next month, then, you've got a 4-hour stint with us, mate. There you go. You'll have to get up early and see it through.
Gosh, I hope that one records at 5:30 in the morning, East Coast time.
No, it's not too bad, actually. It's 1 o'clock, so it'll be 8 a.m. That won't be too bad. And just stick around for the Mac show afterwards. Or you can do opposite weeks. It's up to you. Yeah. And join the Flickr group as well, eh?
We've got a Flickr group.
Andrew, where are you, dude?
I'm at Dr. Happy Mac on the Twitters. Still at the market if you want to come down and do it the old-fashioned way. Pound of veg and an iMac.
Oh, I thought you'd ventured into prostitution then. Sorry, I do. Doing it the old-fashioned way. Oh, yeah. Doctor missionary position. Oh.
What's old-fashioned?
Dr. Doggy style.
Stop it.
Okay, sorry, mate. Dr. Wheelbarrow.
I always, what I tend to do with my daughters when they say, can we listen to your podcast, Dad? I say yes, and then edit the end bit out.
Can we listen to your podcast? No, absolutely not.
Can't.
It's an 18 certificate, even though there's no swear words in it. Dr. Lechermack is suggested in the chat room, unfortunately. Chat room. Oh, well, don't forget the European Podcast Awards. Good. Thank you, Teresa. Yes, we're up for a European Podcast Award. So please go to our website, click on the links and vote for us. That'd be great. Thanks very much. And last by our names, least, Carl Swagger 1G, where can we get you, mate?
KyleSwagger1G.com and on Twitter at Kyle Swagger. And before I go, just so you know, I want to let Andy know, PutTheMoneyInTheBox.com is available.
Oh. Doesn't he have to have Anne send it to me?
That might be a sex site. I don't know.
It is available.
No, you can get the .XXX now, can't you? So there you go. PutTheMoneyInTheBox.XXX. There we go. We'll be back again next week with the Mac Show as normal. We're at 3 p.m. though, if you want to come and watch live, don't forget. We won't be at 1 p.m. because that's now with the photo show. We've kind of swapped it over. And we'll have some more Mac news. Hopefully there might be an event. Maybe even an invitation has gone out and Andy can be able to tell us more and more about that. We'll be back next month.
There might be something to do with a phone.
No.
Maybe.
The Scottish phone.
Transistor radio.
Up the drawer, butler makes amends.
We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening. Are we going to say this is an iPhone 5 rumor-free podcast this week?
That would be so lovely, wouldn't it?
Charim, do you want iPhone 5 rumors or do you not want them out?
I do. I did have a feeling that there'd be an announcement today. And I just had a feeling yesterday, but I was going to tweet it, but I'm glad I didn't now because obviously that isn't on that. Mind you, it's still early in the state, isn't it? Still
what on earth have you just said? I didn't get any of that.